Come on, everybody. Let's get everybody. Come on, young and old, strong and weak. If all of us would put our hands together and show God that we want to come up together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just 5 more seconds of coming up together. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, come on, you can hang. We're blessing the Lord. We're praising our God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Make a joyful noise with your bad self. Amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles. It's about 18 minutes after the hour. Thank you, ushers. Thank you so very much. After we have read the Word of God, you all can join your families and we'll worship the Lord together. Amen. Grab your Bibles in the New Testament of the Bible and the Gospel according to Luke. Smartphones and tablets. Luke chapter 6. And those of us who still have our Bibles in hand, Luke chapter 6, Matthew, Mark, Luke, then John, in the New Testament of the Bible. Luke chapter 6. Amen. If you have an international version, New Living Translation, Message, English Standard Version, King James, New King James, Old King James, whatever you have, find Luke chapter 6. Amen. Amen. Sounds like everybody's there. It's not a lot of reading in Luke 6 today, but we want you to come down, if you will, please, in Luke 6 to verse 12. Luke 6 at verse 12. I have a New Living Translation Bible, and I want to read from the version that I have. I pray that you'll follow along. Not much reading today, but a whole lot of preaching. Amen. All right. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. And this is what the Word of God says. One day, soon afterward, Jesus went to a mountain to pray. And he prayed to God all night. At daybreak, he called together all of his disciples. And he chose 12 of them to be apostles. Here are their names. God bless you. You may be seated. We have engaged on a truth run. And if you were here last week, I pray you caught the title of the sermon as we try to encourage you to choose to be greater. And we said also within that context that the real proof will be in the performance, but you've got to choose to be greater. Text says that at daybreak he called together all of his disciples. That's those folk, his people. Called them all together. And it says that he chose 12 of them to be. I want to stop right there. And if you'll do me a favor, I'll move along as quickly as you will allow. But if you'll do me a favor and fix a good smile on your face, please smile, because it makes it so much easier to get along with you when you are smiling. If you will smile And look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, pastor is going to preach chosen for greatness. What do some have? Yeah, that's the question. What do some have that I don't have? Amen. That's the real question. You're chosen for greatness. It's right there in the text. Because Jesus chose 12. They were chosen for greatness. You do know that whenever God chooses, he chooses for greatness. And then the list says, and here are their names, and there are names there, but your name is not there. And if you pay attention to the text, I'll move along very quickly if you help me, but if you pay attention to the text, you will notice that the text says that he gathered all of his disciples, but he only calls 12 names. So you would have to imagine, and let's just say that you were in that group of chosen disciples, or let's say you're in the first group. The first group is all. So you would have to say that you are in the all group. Amen. Look at your name. Say, you're in the all group. But then Jesus separates the all group by having a chosen group. And so if you were in the all group, which we have a test, we have affirmed, and we do all agree that we are in the all group. The text says, and he chose 12 of them. And here are their names. So after he chooses the 12 and calls their names, and your name's not one of them, don't you agree with me that the question that probably was spoken immediately thereafter is, what do they have that I don't? This is easy preaching, hear me. You would have to, I mean, if I was there, and I've been there, I will tell you that I have been chosen quite a few times, but once or twice, I didn't get picked. And I'm going to tell you now that as soon as the picking ended and I didn't get picked, the first thing that I said was, what do they got? So, Scott, hold your peace. That I don't got. Aren't you asking that question? Last week, I asked you to choose to be greater. This week, I'm showing you that greatness is a defining and pivotal moment in the church. Some of you last week looked at me like some of you looking at me already and tried to disconnect from the dialogue. But I got you this time. Because the verse says that he had all of them together. This is a called meeting. Called meeting. Everybody here, Lottie, Dottie, and Miss Somebody. And he says, that this is the word of God. Luke writes it down and says, That he prayed all night long. I am convinced of God. That he was asking God, who should I pick? With all sleeping here tonight, they're all over the place, foot to head and head to foot, mat spread out, everybody snowing, and I'm up praying. Jesus never thought it unusual to pray by himself. There were often times when folk were sleeping when Jesus prayed. Now we're sleeping and ain't praying. That's another sermon right there. But he got them all together, and then he prayed all night, and in the morning, tell your name, in the morning. Bible said that he is at, they said right there, at daybreak, that's in the morning. Early in the morning. Ain't no need of sleeping late. I believe Jesus woke up and said, well, we might as well get this over with. Because if some of them going to leave, they might as well get an early start. Seeing as how some of them going to leave. Because they ain't going to get picked. You know, I'm telling you, when I didn't get picked, I left. And I didn't leave peacefully. That's another sermon right there, too. Bible said that at daybreak, he called them. And then he chose. And here are the names. And that's the interesting part about the text, because here's a God who does not exclude, but yet in this one instance, Jesus makes it clear that he wants you to know that the picking is for the best of them. He chose 12. He got 12. Why 12? I don't know. Some would say that it relates to 12 tribes and all that kind of stuff. You know, okay, you ain't that deep. Let's not pretend. You just want to know why you didn't get picked. So here's the question, Adrian.
What do others have that I don't have? I'm glad you stopped by today, because Brookville, I got some good news for you. This is a new deal. You can choose greatness. Here it is. If you look at the text, let's go. You don't have to turn, but let me read to you. Back in chapter 5, here's the setup. Chapter 5 says that Simon Peter and the boys were out in the boats. Jesus come along and said, listen, take me out. And they go fishing. And Jesus said, drop your nets. And then they catch all of these fish, so many fish that some other boats have to come along and help them. And when they come back in, the text says, you have to read, I'm just giving the paraphrase of it. Peter realized that God had done something. Falls down on his knees and says to Jesus, you need to stay away from me because you too holy for me. I'm too much of a sinner. You really need to go ahead. It's in chapter 5. He comes back, catch all these fish, tell Jesus, man, listen, people who can do stuff like you do ain't got no business hanging around guys who do stuff like I do. What is he saying? He said, I'm too much of a sinner for an anointed man like you. Jesus doesn't say anything about that. But what happens next is interesting, because the Bible says that John and James, sons of Zebedee, were also there, and they got blown away by it. But Jesus says, don't be afraid. Don't talk like that. Jesus says, from this day forward, you'll be fishing for people. It's in text. And the interesting thing, Diane, is after that is, the Bible says, and because of what Jesus said, they stopped everything that they knew and followed him. Set up. Here it is. Next thing, read a little further. Then the Bible says, next day, Jesus left town, and on the way out of town, comes across a tax collector by the name of Levi. Bible said Jesus walked up. Now, here's the interesting thing. You must understand, Sister Royal. Nothing in the scripture, nothing in history said that Jesus had any previous relationship with Levi whatsoever. Jesus is walking out of town, stops, and looks at him and says, follow me and be my disciple. Here it is. Jesus has no reputation whatsoever. He has no public credibility whatsoever. He is a man walking now with four guys. He four deep now. Look at the name, say, Jesus is four deep now. Simon, Peter, Matthew. And four deep. And he says, come now, this guy is working, Dick Nansen. He's on his job, tax collecting for the government. And Jesus says, come follow me and be my disciple. Surprise. Bible says Levi got up, left his tax collecting job, and followed Jesus. Okay. So now we 5D. Bible says in chapter 6, which they didn't live their lives in chapters, we just get to read chapters so we can live better lives. Y'all pastors are genius. So the Bible says, I'm moving on. The Bible says that in a couple of more days here, overnight, sometime, let's see if the time has passed. The Bible says that Jesus goes to sleep. They go to sleep, rather. Jesus praying all night, wake up the next morning, and said, now I'm going to pick some people. Now you got four guys that left fishing. One guy left tax collecting. And then you got these other guys that have shown up, you know, not mysteriously, but according to the will of God concerning them. And now Jesus says, thank all of y'all for being here today. I'm imagining that when Jesus stood up to make the final selection, he gave a little introductory speech and said, thank you so very much for attending, but how the ever, the following men, please rise and come stand right over here. Oh, that's the left. Let's do them come stand on the right. And he calls 12 names. Here it is. The opening question for preaching, now I'm getting ready to preach. The opening question for your consideration is, and should not be denied, what separates winners from losers? What defines heroes from zeros? What is it, brothers and sisters? Please allow me, if you will, Adrian, to make my pastoral point and pursue your conversation further in this predicament that we are finding ourselves herein. the question that I'm asking to the Greater Brookville disciples for your consideration is, what is it in the DNA of others that is not in the DNA of some others? What's in the DNA of those who leave everything to follow Jesus versus the DNA of those who just show up on Sundays? What is in the DNA? How do we know? Look at your name and give him a little up and down. How do we know? Don't be afraid. Look at him. What is it? The question is right. It's obvious in the text. How is it that the Lord determines greatness versus casualness? How is it that Jesus spends a little bit of time with a whole lot of folk and finds 12 elite choices? What is it that some folk have that you don't? Haven't you ever asked that question? Deacon Campbell, aren't you concerned? What makes a good deacon versus a sorry deacon? What makes a good preacher versus a sorry preacher? What makes a good leader versus a sorry leader? What makes a good drill instructor versus a sorry? What do you have? Look at your neighbor again. Give him that thing. What do you have that makes you so you that I can't be just like you or greater? What is it that they, why is it that God picks some folk and leaves others behind? Bible says that you got to be separate, come out from among them. The Bible said, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. How can, listen, here it is. I'm preaching. Y'all got time for preaching? How is it that there are those of us who have signed us up for the Christian Jubilee, write our names on the roll, and yet others of us just come to church some Sundays, make some Bible studies, make some transition, make some changes, but others go all in. Here it is. Can I press my case a little further? What is it that drives and separates you from so many other folk? Here it is. We sat in the same places, heard the same sermons, heard the same songs. So what made me a choice and he didn't pick you? Peter said, make your calling and election sure. What do you have that I don't have? Here it is. I'll tell you. Are you interested in knowing? Am I taking up too much of your time? Very good. He said, listen, I chose, here are the name. He writes down the name. I'll tell you the truth, because the truth is going to make you free. You want to know what makes the difference between the DNA of those who is and those who ain't? I'll tell you. It is only, so Scott, I almost messed that up. I'm sorry about that. It will only happen when you decide and you are determined that you have a different spirit and a different desire for the same God that others don't have. All of them were with Jesus. But I'm telling you now, if you want to be great, if you want to know what makes the difference, it's because you decide and you get determined. Look at the name and say, no more buddy system. You got to have a different way of thinking and living based on your relationship with God. Did you hear what I said? I said you. I'm talking to you. All right, sit down. You got to have a different way of thinking about God. That's when you're going to be different. I am convinced that these 12 stood out because they chose to stand out. If you look at the text, Lewis, you will discover that there is nothing different among them. Because the text says all of them are identified as disciples. But Jesus looks at all of them and says to 12 of them, I'm bumping you up. Look at your neighbor and ask him, you want to get bumped? Here it is. I'm running along quickly. You got to change up. Listen, maybe when you finally get determined to move from thinking of a, here it is, I'm going to upset some folk, but I'm going to do it. Maybe. Look at the name and say, maybe. Just maybe when you determine yourself, here it is, Deacon Anderson, to move from spending the majority of your time thinking about what you want God to give you and what you want from God to changing your thinking about what you can do for God and what you will do with God, your life will finally change. Maybe, let me make it a little plainer. Maybe when you decide to move from being a bit player to assuming a starring role. That's when you decide. Because it ain't up to me. Let me tell you something. Myra, can I be honest with you? I ain't got time to be worrying about you getting picked because I'm trying to get picked myself. I can't be sweeping around your back, though. I'm trying to keep my stuff straight so when the Lord look at me, I can be standing tall. I don't want to be a bit player. I decided I want to be, like Glenn Campbell said, somewhere in the sun, like a rhinestone cowboy, riding out in the rain in a star-spangled rodeo, like a rhinestone cowboy. Signing cards and letters from people I don't even know. And offers coming over the phone. I don't want to be no bit player. Let me check. Can I make it personal? Too many of y'all are settling for being bit players. Ain't no need of going to no other church just to be a bit player. Ain't no need of complaining every Sunday and you just a bit player. Ain't no need of talking about we don't need to buy, build, or invest when you just a bit player. It's time for some of y'all to choose greatness. Don't roll your eyes at me when you a bit player. You want to know about, don't nobody want your autograph? You a bit player. You got to be tired of being an also-ran. You know why we know Secretariat and Man of War? They finished first. There's a lot of horses running that day. A lot of jockeys. But you only know the winners. That's why y'all hate the Cowboys. Because they winners. That's why you know Tom Landry and don't know George Allen. Everybody know Tom Landry. Fedora hat. Image of stalwartness. Did I go too far? I'll be back to church in a minute. He said, listen, here are their names. What your name gonna be? You know when they say your last name? Well, your name gonna be, here it is. You gotta decide to move from being a bit player. I told you weeks ago, and I said I was gonna keep reminding you, cannot make your only testimony, I go to church. I'm a Christian. And do what? Anybody can say they're a Christian. What's your role in Christianity? What have you done to advance the kingdom? Here it is. Y'all got time? Are we doing all right? Here it is. You got to decide. And I'm here to tell you now, I'm here to announce and decree unto the determined and the desirables that it can happen. You want to know how it happens? I'll tell you how it happens. You got to pray harder, press harder, fight harder, stay longer, stand stronger. You got to make up your mind that you will endure until the end, wherever the end might be. Because the end ain't at 1:15 every Sunday. The end ain't just because you tired or fed up or frustrated or you don't like the agenda, you don't like the vision, you don't like the mission. You cannot be great on your own agenda. I'm preaching better than y'all acting. I'm telling that right now. You have to do it his way. They left fishing. That was their thing. He left tax collecting. That was his thing. They didn't call his name because he was a tax collector. They ain't going to call your name because you work at DMV, baby. Keep working at DMV. We need to hook up. They ain't going to call your name because you're in the bank. That ain't your money. Don't nobody care that you work at Lynchburg College. Ain't no heaven for Lynchburg College employees. Now, you didn't have to do that. You did not have to do that. I need an usher in this area immediately and two deacons. An usher and two deacons. Listen, you're going to have to do it his way. And doing it his way means you do it with him. Nobody wants your opinion all the time. Any fool can criticize, and fools often do. Can I make it personal? I'm tired of y'all whining about what we ain't doing and where we ain't going and you ain't helping. You got so much to say about what we're not, then help us to be what we ought to be. But you can't do that as no bit player. Need some superstar. Here it is. It's in the text. He said, here are their names. Where's your name? I didn't see your name. Didn't see mine either, you said. I heard you. I'm going to get to that. Here it is. Watch this. I'm convinced, Aaron, that somewhere along the line, somewhere along this journey, the chosen, the winners, and the heroes made a shift. Now I'm getting to you. That's what I'm convinced of. Elizabeth, I'm convinced that between being all and then becoming here, their name, there's a shift. Nudge your name and say, you're going to need a shift. I'm coming. I'm hurrying. Because watch this now. They did what you need to do. Because they did what they needed to do. And you're going to have to do it too. You listen, help me. You are not. I almost said ain't, Sir Scott. But I saw you looking at me. You are not going to rise when all you do is lay down. Too many of y'all lay down around here. I told you it's going to get personal. And I got a note right here. Melvin, you have to come witness for me in a minute. But I put a note here that said I'm going to get in trouble right along through here. You are not going to make the list if you don't shift. I mean, anybody can come to church. Some of the most hateful people I know are sitting up in this church. Told y'all I was gonna get in trouble. Mean, uncooperative, mission killers, vision killers, people killers, program killers, pastor killers. You know what I found out about mean pastor killer, program killers, people killers? They don't miss no Sundays because they got work to do. They got to be there because if they're not here, they're afraid we're going to get this thing right. But I got a note. You'll see in a minute. I'm going to have to call you to witness. I always get you to witness. They heard something from God. They felt something in their spirit. Here it is. And it wasn't just on Sunday. But they shifted. They got disturbed. Pulled out of their comfort zones. And it wasn't just on Sunday. Because some of y'all are experts at Sundayitis. They moved from what was familiar, Myra, from what was customary and traditional. They shifted. Let me tell you something, children of God. When you shift, you lose people. Peter almost lost his wife because he shifted. Some of y'all sitting around here talking shift and won't shift. Where's Sister Davis at? Because I had another note right there, but I couldn't say it because it would have sounded too close for her. She'd have went, what did he just say? Listen to me. Here's my pastoral plug. Here it is, Jess. They change the way they think or thought. And ultimately, they change the way they live. And it wasn't just on Sunday. Don't hate. They just chose to be greater. And let me tell you something. In the process, Sister Royal, of them choosing, they got chosen. What are you saying, Pastor? Let me show you. Because they were there. It is apparent to me, Sister Cox, that they wanted to be picked. It is apparent to me that there was something about Jesus, and it didn't take 5 years. Because some of y'all have been hanging around the church forever and still a bit player.
Preaching like a woman.
They chose to go with him. Jesus didn't say, y'all better come. So in the process of choosing greatness, they got chosen.
Now, your name, say, are you available? Are you even in the right zip code? Do you know the area code for two?
They were with Jesus. That's what I'm saying, Raven. At least be with Jesus. Some of you are so aligned with your neighbor and your friend and your gossip hate buddy that you lose in contact with Jesus. Now you let somebody else tell you what to do. They're telling you how to pray, when to pray, what to believe in, what to co-sign on. You need to cut them ties. It's time for you to fire your prayer partner.
Boy, you're going to get in trouble.
It is. This is just a starting 12, Lewis. I got a feeling they're going to need some backup. They just got the first call, Kirk. It ain't the last call. Here it is. There's not a verse in Scripture that says you can't volunteer for greatness.
You don't believe me? Where you think Isaiah got that, hear my Lord? Isaiah was working for King Uzziah. He wasn't in the Lord's church. But he volunteered. Well, why you think Samuel got told by Eli? Eli said, look, it ain't me, man. We've been to break time. It's apparent me, God finna help. And listen, Eli didn't get mad. Because God didn't check with him before he called Samuel. What are you saying, Pastor? Some of y'all need to stop waiting on other folk to authenticate God before you believe God. He said, listen, son, it's apparent it ain't me. Maybe God just won't talk to you tonight.
Samuel said, I'll do it. Ask Jesus. The Bible said he came down through 42 generations. It is apparent to me, he said, Daddy, I'll do it. It's just verse 12, y'all. Y'all got a little more time. I'm trying to push.
It's in the Bible. Character after character, scene after scene, page after page, chapter after chapter, verse after verse proves that just average folk got picked. Average men, average women, Aaron, shifted from their unknowns, their fears, their doubts, their hesitations, their alliances, their cliques and schisms, they shifted. They said, in the most holy and righteous way, I'm out of here.
Here's my plug, Rudy. When they change the way they think, they change how they live. So many of y'all bit players think like bit players. You don't want to do nothing but be a bit. You just over in the extras. You don't even get your name in the credits when you're extra. That's why you came here trying to sing, made it work. You ain't done nothing. Okay, here it is, Melvin. I'm going to need you in a minute. I told you the notice coming. You have to choose greatness. Don't cheat yourself as a bit player. Aren't you tired of being a bit player? Cut. You don't even get to eat off the main line when you're a bit player. No limousine come pick up the bit players. They don't buy you no first class ticket as a bit player. You ride a bus from Tupelo to way below. 20 hours on a bus when you could have been there on a Learjet in 30 minutes. Bit player. They don't drop it hot. They get it dropped on them. Aren't you tired of being a bit player? As Mr.'s daddy looked at Suge Avery and said to Miss Cecil, all you do is carry us a slop jar. I'd rather be the one doing the slopping than carrying the slop jar. Bit players. Y'all looking at me funny. I ain't no bit player. And listen, don't be no hater. Because some choose greatness. And you want to be a bit player. You can't be mad at us for wanting to serve God with excellence and integrity. Stop telling us about y'all want too much. Y'all going too far. Y'all just like him. Anything he say. If he's saying starring roles are available, I'm going to get a starring role. Ain't nobody brown nosing. Ain't nobody sucking up. We're trying to move up. Y'all getting quiet. You got to shift. Here it is. Here's the bonus. It's evident to me. I'm almost finished here. I'll let y'all go. It's evident to me that when people desire a thing, that God gives it to them. Thank you, Jennifer. I see you agree with me. Harmony, I saw you. Maybe I'm just super stupid. Are smart as all our does. Sister Davis, I almost said something else, but you looking away, I almost got by you. It's only 5 minutes to one. We'll be all right. It's evident to me that only the lives of those who desire shifting and transformation and starring roles get them. Because within Luke 6, nobody raised Cain because they didn't get picked. As Melvin said earlier, y'all didn't hear him, they got up early so they can get an early start because they had a long way to go back home. Nobody, listen, it's in the text. Nobody said, wait a minute, Jesus, now hold on. I've been here all this time, just like them. We all started out together. Nobody, they left. They just went. It's evident to me that the reason Brookville is stuck in stupid and slow and ignorance is because too many of us are choosing that lifestyle. Well, I think, I declare and I decree that I need a shift. If we are going to move this church, I need at least one shift. If I can get one somebody to shift, if I can get one somebody that'll come out of familiar and traditional and comfortable and ordinary, and it don't take that much. If we can just get somebody, anybody, to say, Lord, I'm shifting. It's evident to me that you have a God who said that I will supply all your need. It's evident to me you have God said to ask and I'll give it to you.
Can I preach like I want to? Any fool can figure that one out. Ask and it shall be given, then ask. It's evident to me. Because you give me a few minutes. Maybe I need to do part two. But can I at least get this point across and I'll stop? It's evident to me that within the circumstances of situational struggle and life, that the influence of God is greater than the obstacles that you are presently presented with. I just said it. Within the situational confines. In other words, what them boys saying is, no matter what you got going on, God can get with you. You ain't the only one behind in bills. You ain't the only one got to struggle with your children. You ain't the only one got marital woes. You ain't the only one. Just look at them and say, you ain't the only one with whatever that is you got. But whatever it is you got, it will not stop God from getting with you. Woo! You ain't the only one with a bad credit score. You ain't the only one with a record. There's a whole lot of felons in here. Misdemeanors. Thank God for juvenile records being sealed. Thank God for being expunged on a matter or two. Thank God for the appeal process. But whatever you is and whatever you've done, it ain't going to stop God from using you. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Lord. Sitting up here with your bright self, being a bit player, and you bad and real bad. You are that. Here it is. You are born with influence. Not some of you. Every one of you are born with influence. Can I show you how much influence you have? You made people leave their houses to come see you when you first got here. You hadn't done nothing but show up. You can make people change their whole daily plan because you cry. You have influence. You can make folk give you money that they said they wasn't going to give you just because you. You made your mom and daddy sit up at night and lie to each other just because of you. Because daddy said, I ain't getting him nothing. And mama said, you right, baby. And the next morning she got up and said, don't you tell your daddy. You got influence. The problem with some of y'all is the older you get, the less you use your influence. You don't put them puppy dog eyes back in there and get your little feet crooked and turn and say, but if you don't mind, use your influence. People sitting right next to you. You got influence. You want to be a bit player? Bible says, and Lewis, you read it again. You peeped into the sermon a little bit. It's right there in the text from the book of Zechariah. The Bible says, folk will chase after you because you got influence. They'll come from nations and languages because you are with God. You know, bit player. Sitting around here. That's bit player life. Matter of fact, you ought not even want to sit around bit players. Because big dogs don't run with little dogs. And horses can outrun footmen. You've got influence. Here it is. 1 o'clock. I got to let you go. I'll just pause right in here. Every one of you can be scripted
into greatness.
Here it is. I find my way home from here. Here it is. The Bible says that the eye hath not seen.
Look at your name and say, what you looking at? You can't describe it anyway. You don't see everything about me. What you think you know about me is what you heard. You don't know me like that. Because the Bible said that I have not seen and the ear have not heard. Nobody knows what God has in greatness for them who love him. And they'll call, listen, tell your neighbor, I'm picking greatness. Because I believe that there is something in me that is greater than that which is against me. And therefore, because of who he is, I desire to be who I am.
I'm greater. Don't hate me. You want to sit here Sunday after Sunday, leaving your hind part prints on the pew? If that's all you got, go for it. But I'm better than that. I'm got ready to pick them up and put them down. I'm getting ready to shoulder my cross. I'm getting ready to lift up the bloodstained banner. I'm getting ready to push as hard as I've ever pushed. I'm getting ready to go further than I've ever gone. I'm getting ready to pick me an elite group of fighting men and women who will raise up a standard unto God. And if you don't like what we're doing, get out of the way, stand over to the side, but watch my smoke, because God has chosen me for great. I can't wait on you no more. Here it is. You got influence.
Here it is. Pause. Have to come back next week. Lord, say. Bible says when Andrew met Jesus, he went and told him brother. I don't know what Andrew and Peter's relationship, Simon. Relationship was like, you know, Jesus, the one called him Peter. And I don't know, but it's apparent that Andrew used his influence. Two things, and we'll stop. In order for influence to work, two things, these would have been subset up to the big side, but we'll do the big side next week. Two things, tell your neighbor, two things. In order for influence to be effective, the one exercising the influence must first be confident . Andrew didn't go back to Simon Peter going, I met this guy. I mean, I don't know, man. Tell your neighbor, confidence. Secondly, again, these were setups. Secondly, Kim and Kim, you must have credible character concerning the cause of which you are about to engage. Credible character concerning the... In other words, Andrew said, I've been with John, and I know what I saw. And I was going to follow John. But this guy came along. And everything I saw in John, this guy just blew it out the water. I believe I have found the Savior. I have met the Messiah. And because I believe in him, he's credible. But I'm credible because he's credible. In other words, in him, you live, you move, and have your being. You is what you is because he is who he is.
Y'all missed it. None of y'all got it. Andrew was willing to leave everything because of Jesus. He was willing to do it for John, but John said, no, I'm done. You and I are sitting in a church established by God and given all its rights, privilege, and empowerments by God. And you can't see it? You think you just here because you eat healthy, run a few laps, sleep 8 hours? God is raising up a generation of greatness. Because no matter what they say about the church, heaven and earth will pass away, but the word, the church of God, will last forever. Peter upon this rock. We got this. You got to choose greatness. You have influence. Why you think people sit by you? Why you think they hang around you? You got to choose greatness. If I had a few more minutes of your time, I'd give you the next setup, but I'm going to pause. Because you're looking tired. I'm feeling good about it myself. Because I'm trying to help you. This ain't no beat us up sermon. This is a pep rally. It's a pep rally. All I'm telling you is you have just as much as anybody else. You are as qualified and capable and necessary as anybody else. The only thing that has separated you from them is they have already chosen greatness. And they ain't through getting greater. Can you, that was all right, Sister Scott, getting greater. They working on it. Nudge your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm working on it. I'm not quite there yet, but I ain't turning back, and I'm going to keep going. I just have chosen. You stop being a hater. The only thing they have presently that you don't have is a constitution that is riddled with confidence and commitment and consistency. There's a sign in my office. It's on my wall. It's been there forever. It stayed there. It's my reminder. All it says, Jesse Davis, is be consistent. That's all. Yeah, choose greatness. Nobody's got anything you don't have. They're just using what you haven't started using yet. Got influence. Your children are looking at you. Your neighbors are looking at you. Your pastor's looking at you. Co-laborers, you have influence. Simon and Andrew, James and John, Matthew, Bartholomew, all of these guys just use their influence. Paul told Timothy and Titus, just look at me. Jesus even says, those things that you've seen me do, how you going to use your influence? Because you got influence. Some of you are church killers, and some of you are church sustainers. Some of you have the right attitude, some of you got the wrong attitude. But you have to use your influence. Some of you draw people, and some of you run folk away. It's influence. But how will you determine your greatness? What are you going to do with what you got? And can I tell you something? This is my closing remark. Even if you don't think you have enough or the right stuff, use what you got until you get what you need.
Use what you, listen, wherever you are right now, every one of you, because this ain't no exclusive sermon just for deacons and preachers and ushers and trustees. This is for everybody. You can choose greatness. And if you're not quite qualified to make the first list, then volunteer and say to God, Lord, I'm bringing what I got till you give me what you want me to have. Because you can be great. I choose great. That's why Leroy feels right handsome about himself. Because I choose. I don't need you to validate me. I don't, listen, you ain't got to rub me, put your arm. You ain't got to do nothing. Listen, me and God got it like that. If I preach to an empty church, I'm preaching the same way as if I preach to a packed house. I choose greatness. And I may not be what you want me to be, but you didn't save me. You ain't got no heaven or no hell. You can't feed me and my wife and children. You can't keep my body. You can't take my... Listen, all I know is I choose Jesus. And choosing him makes me available to get chose. I choose greatness. Let's stand on our feet. We going. It's 1:09, something like that. That's what this says. No, you got to go. I understand it. Don't want to keep you too long. What does everybody else have that you don't have? Can I tell you what the answer is? Nothing. Look at his name and say, you don't have anything that I don't have. You know why? It's in the next note down, and I'll go ahead and give you a coming attraction. Because when Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, this is what he says, that we are the workmanship of God, and we are thoroughly equipped unto every good work. Look at the name and say, that's you. Now, here it is. I told you a little earlier that when you shift, you're going to have to leave some people. If you're standing by somebody who in the last two little phrases that I asked them to say to you and they didn't say it, that's part of your shift. You need to get away from folk who won't even say simple things to you. Because if they can't bless you in a simple moment, all you did was stood by them and ask them to say something. You didn't have no money, no sacrifice. You know what I like about the Bible? It's got all y'all in it. Sometimes I'm reading my Bible and I see Deacon Walker. And I pause and say, well, Lord. Sometimes I see Myra. I see Jess. I see Pat. I see Lewis. I see Kurt. That leads me to drinking, but I see Kurt. But I see y'all. And when I read stories, I say, Lord, you know what? That's Midge right there. Lord, I see this becoming our next Rudy. See, that's why I don't give up on y'all. I told him in Christian Academy this morning that my pastor told me something I pray I never forget. It is not the role of the pastor, the shepherd, to kill folk. But it is our responsibility to make sure you get a good funeral. You kill yourself. You have influence, children. You are wonderfully made. There is not a verse in Scripture that says, except Ada or except Stephanie, Candace, except. You're not the except. You're included. Everything that was made by God and made thoroughly equipped. The only reason we are where we are is because we got too many bit players. We can push this game as fast and as far as we want it to go. And I don't use game to diminish the greatness of the gospel, but I'm just trying to make it familiar to you. Brookville can be anything Brookville with its bad self want to be. We can build, buy, break down, break through anything. We ain't no bunch of sissies. We got this. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you got it. Now do something with it. If you're standing in this room, this is the close of my argument. If you're in this room, you've not given your life to Christ, you can't be chosen. You're going to get left behind. Because the Bible says, only them that are in Christ, the dead in Christ, those who live in Christ now, those who remain in Christ, are going to inherit eternal life. You don't have to die today, and I pray that you don't, but you ought to be in Christ. I am not asking you to join Greater Brookville Church. I am asking you to give your life to Christ. And I'm not asking you to give your life to Christ on my terms, but on his terms. He says, if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, Jesus is Lord. He is the Savior of the world. You can be saved. And salvation does not have its exclusive roots in Greater Brookville Church. Salvation of God is salvation of God worldwide and universal. You get saved on earth, you can go live on Mars and you still saved. So I'm asking you today to choose greatness. Choose he who is the greatest. Would you come to Jesus? This ain't got nothing to do with me. I'm just a messenger. And I'm telling you that this is the day. Would you make your choice? Would you make Jesus your choice? Would you just choose? Would you leave the comforts of nothingness to gain everything? Of course you would. Would you leave certain death to be invited to eternal life? Of course you would. Would you leave poverty to inherit riches? Of course you would. Therein lie the promises of God, because he is everything. He's healing to the sick. He is life to the dying. He is Savior. Would you come? Somebody, anybody, one somebody today. Don't let a bit player's life be your testimony. You are too close to greatness to never achieve greatness. The Lord says, I know the plans I have for you. You were made to be great. Aren't you ready to come into your own? Would you give your life to he who died that you have life? Just one. Would you make up your mind today? I'm looking at you and you looking at me. You thinking, I'm thinking. Don't let the devil fool you. Don't let the devil fool you that you got one more Sunday. Don't let the devil fool you that you need to be in just the right church. The Lord is universal. And every church that lifts up his name is a good church, I pray. We'll know when we get inside, but the reality is this is about Christ. Young man, young woman, grandma, grandpa, would you give your life? Second thing I want to say to you is that when you choose to be greater, there's a path you need to follow. And I want to present that to you. If you'll come back next week, I pray, and the Lord let us come back together. I'll give you the next session on this greatness and truth course. But the reality for us is restoration is so necessary in the shifting of one's mind. You know, the Roman letter said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. But you need to know that you're forgiven. So many of us carry around the weight of unforgiveness. Dissatisfaction, dysfunction, disappointment. And you think to yourself, as I said to you earlier, some of you think because you got a record or you've made some mistakes that you're not qualified. That's not true. I would ask it, but I'm not going to ask. But I tell you right now, there's some folk in here with a record, probably more complete and thorough than yours. But God is a God of restoration. Some of you think because of the lifestyle that you presently live that you're disqualified and God doesn't want you. No, 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 brother. No, 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 homie. No, sis. God still takes the whosoever's. David said, Lord, just create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. If you want to start over, you're in the right place. And you ain't got to tell nobody nothing. You ain't got to come here and stand and go down the whole allegory of your horrible life. Some of us can out-talk you in that anyway. You think you got it bad. Scoot over a little bit. Let me talk now. Don't kill the batteries in that mic, sister, because I got a story. But God is a God of restoration. And if you're standing in this room today and you want to choose greatness, restoration is a good start. Because indeed, old things do pass away. No matter what you've done in the past, I am not telling you, brothers, that we're not sensitive to it. I'm not telling you, my sister, that there's not some accountability. What I am telling you is, if you seek the face of God and open your heart and the King of Glory is invited in, he'll restore you. Ask Moses. Ask Saul, who became Paul. Ask Peter. There's one gospel tragedy that I think is an example of what could have been if only this brother had taken the course of restoration and not let the devil fool him about rejection. And that is Judas. I really believe that if Judas had fell on his knees and said, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. I've done a terrible thing. But if you will allow me to join you, just like that thief on the cross, I think, I'm sure, that Judas would have been restored. Everybody in this room has probably met a Judas or two. But aren't you glad? Because as God forgave you, made you whole again. Where my whole folk at? God will do it. So that's our second offering. If you want to be restored, just step out. And if you don't feel like stepping out, just lift your hand to God and say, Lord, I need it. Some of us are not very public about things, so you don't have to move. I'm not trying to embarrass you, but I don't want you to live another day outside of greatness. Just know that the Lord loves you with an uncompromised love. He doesn't love Pastor Mitchell more than he loves you. He doesn't love Deacon Anderson more than he loves you. He loves all of us just the same. And I tell you, I'm enjoying the love of God. So if you're here, he'll restore you. Lastly, if you're looking for a church home, our doors are open to you because we desire the greatness in you to enhance the greatness within us. You bring something to the game. I'll talk about that next time. But every one of you brings something to the game. Yes, you do. With your little old self. You've been walking around here thinking, well, I ain't really got nothing. Oh, yes, you do. We see greatness in you. And you know, those of you who've been around Brookville a while, you know, I always say this. Don't ever let anybody want more for you than you want for yourself. Don't let anybody believe in you more than you believe in yourself. And I believe in you. Every one of you, Raven, Jasmine, Adrian, Chris, Ada, I believe in every one of you. And I don't see you any greater than I see him. And I don't see you any less than I see him. I believe every one of y'all, in my own pastoral observation, got something. And it ought to be catchy. It ought to be contagious. You ought to rub it off on us. When you move, we move just like that. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we thank you so very much. Your children stood in this place, sit in their pews, and heard the gospel. I pray, God, they were convinced that they are indeed as qualified as any. Lord, you knew our intentions today was to encourage, to build up, and to strengthen. I pray, God, that they can hear and see themselves within the gospel. They may not be on that starting 12, but Lord, they're on the team. And we need reserves, Lord. We're going to need some backup. We're going to need some soldiers in reserve. God, we want to be just like firemen who stay at the ready. And when the call goes out, Lord, we jump into our suits, slide down our poles, fire up our trucks, turn on our lights, and help is on the way. We want to be just like those on the ready line. When the bell rings, we're fit to fight. As we used to sing in the old church, we got to hold up the bloodstained banner. Got to hold it up till we die. We got to fight. God, you need soldiers. And the recruiting process is on. Bless these, your children, Father. They have come from many walks of life. Through their storms and their disappointments, through their setbacks. Folk have lied to them, lied on them, lied about them. But Lord, they kept on pressing. Would you remind them that they are qualified? And that as long as they are breathing, as long as they can pick up one and put it in front of the other, they've got something. They are the next generation of greatness. Heal them where they are sick. Build them up where they've been torn down. Mend their families and their relations. Oh God, bring back the light in their eyes. Lift up their heads that they be lifted up. Strengthen their backs that they stand erect and tall. Take away the sorrow and mourning of disappointments in the past. Take away the pain of rejection and scandal and rumor. Oh God, encourage them. Brush them off. Bandage up their wounds. Kiss them on their face and push them gently back in the game. Put them back on the horse, back on the bike. Put them roller skates back on their feet and say, now you go. Your daddy's watching. Let them know, God, that no devil in hell can defeat them. For they are more than conquerors. Not only can they, but they will. You shall. That's what we will remember as we turn from this place, but never your presence. When we are met with conflict and contradiction and contrast, we will tell our adversaries, the Lord said, I shall. Thank you, Father. And now the children of God said together, amen, amen, and amen. Remember, last week you both chose your